So I'm going to introduce Deborah. She and her husband pastor a church in Temecula and San Marcos. And a lot of us, have just been so blessed by her and her family. And I asked her a few weeks ago if she would come and minister to us. So she's here, and she just has such a gift for bringing the kingdom and strengthening and equipping believers. So would you welcome Pastor Deborah?
It's so good to be here. Oh, this is such a precious time in his presence. Wow. Isn't it awesome just to be with him and to be with him together? I love these times. And Jesse and Katie, I just bless you guys and keep running with his heart of worship. Will you just put your hand out towards Katie and Jesse back there, both of them, just one on one side, one on the other. Lord, we just bless both of these beautiful minstrels of your throne room, Lord, who go up and they hear what you're singing and what you're saying on the earth, and they just bring it down, Lord. We thank you. We ask that you would protect their heart of worship, Lord. We thank you, God, that they are beautiful minstrels on this earth at this time, at this season, Lord, and you just inhale their beautiful worship, Lord. So I thank you for them. I thank you for them, God. I thank you for who they are, Jesus. In your precious name, amen. Oh, I love worship. I love worship. It's just like, give me just that song that'll connect me to heaven, and it just changes everything. You know, it changes your day. It changes the atmosphere. It changes the tone of your family. It changes your home. And so it's good to just have the worship going in our hearts and just going in our homes as much as we can, wherever we are, in our cars. But I love the presence of the Lord. I guess that's the bottom line. Because in his presence, we've got everything. We've got peace. We've got joy. We've got heaven on earth, right? Sometimes we don't feel like we do, but in his presence, we have everything we need. So thank you, Renee, for inviting me here today. I'm so blessed. I love to be with God's girls. That's who you guys are, or you girls are, you know. You are his girls. You are his just glorious women. You're his just beautiful, beautiful stars shining on this earth. And he loves you so. He is so ravished by your love. Even though we're ravished by his love over us, he just looks at you and just says, oh, and I made her. Look at her. Look at how beautiful she is. He does that all day and all night. You know, he's looking at you as you're sleeping and singing over you. And do you all know that? Okay, that's good. Because once you know that, you know who you are. And when you know who you are, you don't get blown by the storms and the winds that are going to come on us. You know, you get affected, but you don't get blown over by those storms. So it's important as women, as his wonderful women, that first and foremost, we've got to know who we are. We've got to know our identity. And we're learning that every day. He adds to it. But we have to know who we are in Christ Jesus. That's the number one thing for our life. You know, that's the first thing we want to teach our children. We want them to know who they are, what God has done for them. And because he's gone to the cross and he's finished the work, then this is how you proceed. You know, this is how you live. So it's important we know our identity. I have got, you guys, so much stuff. I don't know all that the Lord's going to speak today, but I'm not going to take long, but he just has just a treasure chest, I feel, for you women. I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you. And Renee said it, my husband and I, we live in San Marcos, and we've been in ministry for, well, 30, going on 34 years. Long time, you know. And it's been an awesome life. And as I look back, there's just key things that the Lord has taught me. It's like every decade, God does something big in our lives as women. As we're going through the decade in our 20s, it's like he's teaching us how to get a firm grip on who we are in Christ, our identity. He's helping us. And, you know, this isn't true for everybody because some of us start later on and then we get, you know, God catches us up really quick. But we've been in ministry for 34 years. I have four kids. We raised four kids. My baby is still home, and he's 17. He's such a joy. He's a blast. He just keeps us laughing every day, and he's a surfer. He goes surfing every day, and he's just, our kids are such a joy. And then two daughters. One is in Chicago. One is in Carlsbad. My other son just got married, and I have six grandkids. They're all six and under. So they're just going for it. So it's always fun when they're coming over. It's so funny. You know, everybody said you get to that age where, you know, the kids all leave. And then I remember women saying, you know, then you kind of have to start another life or another career. And I'm saying, what are you talking about? They never leave. They're always coming over. So they're always here. For us, they are. But it's funny. So it looks like we've got just all ages here. And some of you that are raising kids, some of you that are just starting out, some of you that aren't married yet, and some of you that have gone through it like me. But I just love whatever age we're in, whatever place we're in, God is. He's such an amazing, he's just everything. He's everything that we'll need in every phase of life. So I feel like I want to share with you just a couple little things about probably the most important things that God's shown me in my life. I just have a few of them, and I want to share those with you because Titus 2, 3 through 5 says, older women, I guess that's where I am now, huh? Older women, they're to be reverent in their behavior. They're not to be gossips, not enslaved to much wine, but teaching what's good. So it's always good when you're younger to have a mother in the faith. And we can have a lot of, you know, you don't have to just have one, but I feel like God's plan was always that we would have strong mothers in the faith that would be teaching us. And so I love it when I see a multi-generational church because I know there's mothers there. And just because they're older doesn't mean you younger ones should automatically receive from them. But you receive from the older ones who portray character, as it says in Scripture in Titus, that they're not gossipers, so you don't hear them talking behind people's back. They're reverent in their behavior. When it's time to worship, they're worshiping the Lord. They're reverent in their behavior. They watch over their heart. I don't think they would be real moody. They're teaching what is good. And they're doing all of this to encourage the younger women. So God had it all planned out that there would be many ages of women in a congregation. And those older ones, those moms, would be mentoring, they'd be caring for those younger ones. And this is what they'd be teaching them. They'd be teaching the younger women, or it says encouraging, which is what I feel God wants to do today for you, is just encourage you. Encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible and pure and workers at home, kind, and being subject to their own husbands. And this is all so that God's word would be honored. It says we want to do that so the scripture actually is, so his word will not be dishonored. And I remember when I was so busy with my children at home, and I remember when I had my first baby, she was maybe 2 weeks old, and a woman came up to me and says, well, now what are you going to do with your life? You know, are you going to keep on working? And it just came out of me. I said, I'm going to invest my life into my children. And it was like God was prophesying through me at that moment. And not that you can't work and do that, but for me, I just needed to tell her that it was more important at that season in my life about my children than it was about me. Because I was raising this mighty, mighty generation up. And I set it in my heart really early that my children will be able to do even more than me. And they'll be able to multiply his kingdom more than me, because there's more of them than there is of me. So I'm going to take this season, I said, I'm just going to pour into my kids. And so I remember I would just begin to, you know, hear the Lord and just start raising up my kids. And God began to put intercession on my heart, and I would pray. But then I found out, you know, 3 or 4 kids into it, you're so busy. And you wonder if this life as it is at present will ever pass. You know, you're going and going in the middle of the night, early in the morning, and going and going and going. And my husband and I, we felt like God wanted us also to homeschool. So we had, you know, we had just a really busy lifestyle. Plus we were pastoring a church of, you know, 500 or 600 people. And it was the busiest time of my life, but I felt like God said, just be aware of my presence. You can't always go into your closet right now at this time of your life, but you can be aware of me. And honestly, it seemed like the only time that I could talk to him was when I was doing the dishes. I didn't have any other time, but I felt like God said, that's okay. You just do what you can at this time of your life and watch what I'm going to do. And so first, I feel like God wants to encourage you, if you're a young mom or if you've got a busy home and you've got lots of stuff going on, or maybe you're a single mom and you just don't think this is ever going to pass. It seems like it's going to be like this forever. It's not. And God is there with you, and his presence is filling your home. And I want you to be patient in that time of your life. And I always would think of Susanna Wesley. She's a hero of mine. She raised up Charles Wesley and John Wesley, great revivalists and songwriters and worshipers. And I think they were number 14 and 15 of her kids. It's like, you know, if she stopped at 10, we would have missed those guys. But she kept going, and she was just this woman that I would think about a lot, thinking, well, I've just got 4. Certainly I can do this too, and I can raise up revivalists too. I've just got 4. And so she was such a hero, and I would read biographies if I had time, or, you know, now you can just put in your audio book and listen to it. But I would just, in that season, I would believe, I wouldn't be hard on myself, and I would know that even if it was the only time during doing dishes that I could be with the Lord, that was okay. So I want you to be encouraged if you're a young mom. In fact, let me just pray for you. Who's raising children right now? Look at all of you. Okay, will you stand? Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Father.
So, Father, we thank you so much for these little ones that you've given us, that you have preordained, and you have known them in heaven. And, Lord, you release these gifts to us. And we thank you for each of their lives and each of their destinies. We thank you that they are being sheltered right now in each home here. Father, we thank you that these children go to sleep in the presence of the Lord. We thank you that they wake up in the presence of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that they are covered. They are watched over day and night. Thank you that you go in their rooms and you sing to them and you give them dreams and you minister to our little ones, Lord. Father, let us see these little treasures and that the time we have them is so short. May we value who they are. May we have Holy Spirit direction as we raise them up. Lord, thank you for these moms. Thank you that you... God's just showing me some of you just weeping, crying, wondering, God, I can't make heads or tails of my life right now. And the Lord says, crawl into my embrace, come up into my lap, daughter, and know that I am wiping every tear from your eye, and look like I look at the future. Look with hope. Look with assurance. Look that I will give you the strength you need to make this long trek that you're in. I knew you would be a good mom. And I've given these children to you. And I hear the Lord saying, thank you. Thank you for ministering to these little ones for me. For I know their destiny and it is great. I know who they are in me. So do your part, young mom of mine, young daughter of mine, as a mom. Do your part. Give it all you've got. Make a fresh commitment today to continue to love them and raise them up in my presence. And I hear the Lord just saying, I'm so proud of you. And thank you for who you are and what you're doing in their lives. Father, we give you our hearts. We give you our busy schedules. Lord, we give you everything that concerns us. And we thank you that you've gone way before us. Help us to relax and enjoy the present, and these presents that you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, thank you. Everybody grab the tissues. Wow. Oh, that was so sweet. God's encouraging you. And so I'm not going to be too much longer, but I want to just encourage you with a couple of scriptures. God just gave these to me in the week, and I wasn't sure exactly where they would fit in, but I feel like they fit in right now. One is 1 Corinthians 15:58. These are good ones to read when you feel overwhelmed. You're doing an amazing job. An amazing job. Raising up your little ones. Letting them feel his presence. All right, it says, this is the Message translation. With all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master. That's your work right now. Throw yourselves into it, being confident that nothing you do for him is ever a waste of time or effort. Isn't that encouraging? 1 Corinthians 15:58, same verse, different translation. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisterin, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. There's a lot of toil watching those kids, changing those diapers, doing that laundry. Lots of it. But he says, it's not in vain in the Lord. Here's the message for 1 Corinthians 16:13. Keep your eyes open. Hold tight to your convictions and give it all you've got. Be resolute and love without stopping. And same verse, different version. Keep alert, be firm in your faith, stay brave and strong. And I was thinking how that movie came out, wasn't it this year, Brave? And I watched it and I thought, you know, this is something the Lord is saying to his women this year too. Continue on. Then there's another phrase that I keep hearing, and it's from Britain, and I'm sure you've all heard it. It's keep calm and carry on. Have you heard that? Keep calm and carry on. And I feel like these are little things that we're hearing in the Spirit that God's speaking to us about. Just keep calm. Keep going. Keep going. Carry on. And so in your work for the Lord, be brave and be strong. I feel like one of the other things that the Lord shared with me as I was raising up my kids was to pour my life into them, to raise them up in the presence of the Lord. You know, we could have a whole two-day seminar or conference just on how that works and what that looks like practically. But God gives us ideas for that, that fit our giftings and our styles, and he helps us to flourish in our home, to bring his presence in whatever way that looks like, to best minister to your children and to your husband. But I think one of the other things that I've learned throughout the years is as you're trekking through life, as you're raising up these children, words are your attitude and your actions are always going to speak to our families and to those around us far more than any of our words would. And so the Lord showed me really early, and I'm so grateful, that when there are those that come against perhaps your children or come against your family, or when you just are in a job or your husband's in a job, basically people are with us all the time. And there are always opportunities for hurt to come into our lives. As we know, as you walk through life, there's going to be those times where you get hurt. Sometimes just a little bit. Sometimes devastated. Some of you have gone through it perhaps even in your marriage. But I think that the greatest thing that God is teaching his women and teaching the body of Christ right now, but the greatest thing that I feel I can say, this was a nugget for me as I was raising my kids, and today it's a nugget for me. I forgive that person as fast as I can. I forgive them quickly. I bless them, and I get over it. But the way I get over it, and this is a secret I want to share with you. Do you remember the story of Hannah? And do you remember when she was being ridiculed by her husband's other wife because her husband's other wife was the one giving him all of the children? And she couldn't bear any children. And you see this in the book of Samuel. And so Hannah, she would pour her heart out, it says, to the Lord. And as she was pouring out her heart about not being able to give birth and give to have a child, it says that Samuel came over to her and said, Hannah, you have had way too much to drink. What are you doing drunk in the house of the Lord? And if you go read it, he thought her pouring out of her heart to God was a sign of being drunk. And I pondered on that for months. And I said, there is a key here, Lord. Because as you know the story, she poured her heart out. She got rid of her bitterness, I believe. She got rid of her unforgiveness. She just basically put her life at the throne of God and just said, whatever, Lord. But you know I want this child. But I'm not going to be bitter anymore. And then we know that she conceived. And I think she had like 7 children. Not at once, but 7 in process. But it's such a key is when you get hurt by your husband, when you get hurt by your friends, by your coworkers, by people in church. First and foremost, you pour your heart out to the Lord. And that just doesn't mean, oh God, I've been hurt. You know, and I forgive them. Amen. But I feel like to the level you've been hurt is the level that you're going to pour out your heart to God. And I know I have been in that place where I have not understood. I've wondered, why is this happening to me? When I look back and you see that every time an instance comes, a trial, a tribulation, it's all just an opportunity for us to grow and to receive greater gems from the Lord. And he just grows us up and makes us into his image. But at the time, when you're hurt, you've got to deal with it. And for me, the greatest thing was when I would be devastated. I remember I would be on the ground, you know, with my head to the floor, just weeping, sometimes hitting the ground. God, I don't understand. Why did this happen? Why, God? I don't understand. And I would get out every bit of junk, every bit of hurt, every bit of hatred, everything that was regarding that situation, I would pour it out. And I want you to know that that is a key in our life with the Lord. If you continue to harbor grudges, unforgiveness, it will affect you your entire life. Your appearance changes because of it. You look at a person who's gone through a deep encounter with God, and they've completely let go of bitterness and unforgiveness, their entire face is different. Their countenance has changed. Their posture may even be more erect. Everything changes when you let go of bitterness and when you forgive and forgive and forgive. And we do it just about every day. But there's those times when you've got to pour out your heart, no matter how hurtful it's been. The finished work of the cross is the finished work of the cross, and Jesus heals every broken heart. And that you can go through that process of pouring out your heart before him, that you would not be embittered, carry a spirit of bitterness, that root of bitterness, they say, that leads to disease, that leads to corruption in our body, but that you would be a free woman and that you'd put it behind you and you'd be able to move on. And so if there is anything from your past that you haven't let go of yet, I want to encourage you, just when you have time with the Lord, you've got time to get in your bedroom and just let it out and tell the Lord about these things. Ask him for pictures of, Lord, where were you when this was happening? Lord, how do I receive your healing now for this? I want to exchange this bitterness for something. What are you giving me in return? And he'll show you every single time. So release yourself. So I guess what the Lord's saying this morning, and I'll close, is pour yourself into where you are and what season you are in your life. Because it's not going to last forever. And you want to soak it for all it's worth. It goes by so fast. Your kids are gone before you know it. Soak that time. 20 years, maybe 25, 30 years, you're with your children in your home. Soak it for all it's worth. Get up every day and thank God that you have your family. You have a children. If you don't, if you're single, thank God for your church family. Find ways to minister to those moms, those single moms. Offer to babysit. Do something to get involved with families. There's such a healing when we mix our lives and intertwine ourselves with one another to keep our family strong. So throw yourself into your work, like the scripture said. Give yourself fully to the season you're in. And before that, we mentioned find mothers and fathers. Find mothers in the faith that will teach you these things, that will encourage you while you're going through the busiest time maybe of your life. Find those women that are full, requirement, full of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, they'll just give you the latest of what, you know, Oprah's saying or something. But you want to hear what the Spirit's saying. You know, you want to hear the Holy Spirit. Seriously, there's so many self-help books and tapes, but you need the Spirit's answer. He'll show you, but there's times we need to partner with a mother of the faith that's gone before us, and she can help us and lead us and pray with us, and we can hear Holy Spirit together. That's what the church family's for. So that was the first, but those are 2 points. Throw yourself into it. And number 3, a great treasure is to walk in constant forgiveness. Constant pouring your heart out like Hannah did. And know that as you continue every day, just to look to him, even if it's when you're doing the dishes and that's the only time you have, but when you just look to him, you acknowledge him. You're aware he's with you. You're asking him for his wisdom. He's going to crown your efforts with so much success. One day your kids will be raised in the presence of God as you hovered over and watched them, and as the Lord was hovering over them and watching them, and you'll say, these are my kids, and they're serving God today. They're walking with the Lord. That's all I care for my kids. I just want them to be madly in love with Jesus. That's all. And then just to go on with their destiny. But to know that they were raised in a place where they felt his presence every day. Because that's going to be their norm. And when they're away from it, they're going to want to go back to that norm because it's so in them. There's a song we're going to end with here, and it's one that we already sang. Katie sang it for us. And as she sings it, I want you to just let this be the prayer we're all praying today. God, I look to you. You're where my strength comes from. This was written by Jen Johnson, and Katie reminded me of the story and the history behind the song. But she's a busy mom. She's teaching and singing and recording and raising a family. And she says that she was so overwhelmed all the time by her schedule. And instead of saying, I feel so overwhelmed, she wrote this song. And in it, it says, God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. And she said that she just began to make it a point that she was going to decree and proclaim, in this season you've given me, Lord, I may be busy, but you've given it to me. You knew what you were doing, and I won't be overwhelmed. I won't be. I won't be. So I want you to sing along with Katie. And why don't we all stand? And then I'm going to just pray a prayer of blessing over you. I don't know how you close this time, but...